You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Exciting, exciting days at Houston's First Baptist Church. To be able to think that we're raising money to give money away. To be able to think that God is doing something in us, in our city, in our nation, in our world. To think about in Sienna Plantation, as y'all are on the second floor there worshiping together, that in that little room you can make a difference in the entire world. To think about from downtown in the basement level that you guys are making a difference in the nation. To think about in Cyprus in a middle school cafeteria. At the Loop in a worship center, that we're making a difference in our city, in our nation, in our world, in widows today, orphans today, prisoners today, poor people today are being able to have things that they need because we're making a difference and stepping it out. I've been thinking about this song all week long. It's a song by Matt Redman. It's been playing over and over and over in my car on his new CD, and this is what it says. Come and see what God has done. Come and see what love has won. In this place, hearts and lives waking up to the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And that's been my thought all this week. Come and see what God has done and that we're a part of it. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I also want you to pull out your weekly guide that you got when you came in. And in there, it's got a little note section you can have. And it also has an envelope with the commitment card. I want you to keep that handy. In just a moment, we're going to be able to do that as we go through this. But we're going to look into 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 10. Talking about the world today. That we're making a difference in the world. Now, I don't know if that blows you away, but it blows me away. That we, from our church, in a cafeteria, in a basement, in a second floor, in a worship center, that we can make a difference in the world. How are you and I going to impact the world if we impacted just us? It's not going to be as dynamic. But if we come together, we can impact it in a great way. What an amazing time we have right now to impact the world. I want to show you this graph of the world's population over time and show you where we're living now. Let me show you this graph. The world's population, it begins way back in zero, is the way back then. This is AD. Then you get to 500, then you get to kind of 1,000, then to 1900. And the yellow stripe that you see, I know you can't see it too well, the yellow stripe is the year 2000, and look at how the world's population shoots. That's the time in which we are living right now. It's cruising along pretty flat, normal. Shoo, the thing just takes off like a rocket in the last 100 years. And that's the time in which we've been given to live. Do you remember in Acts chapter 17, we studied this verse of scripture? It says, from one man, God has made every nationality and to live all over the earth. And here it is. He has determined their appointed times and the places in which they should live so that they might seek him and perhaps reach out to him, for he is not far from each one of them. God has put you and he has put me in this moment to impact the world through technology, through travel, at the exact same time that the population is shooting up. That is an amazing responsibility. We have an amazing responsibility. See, as we look into Mission 1-8 and as we've been studying about generosity and asking the question, we all want to be generous people. We talked the first week about generosity creates possibilities. We talked the second week, last week, about generosity is prepared or creates, let me back up, preparation creates generosity. That we've got to be prepared to be generous with our time, with our resources. And then this week, we're going to see that generosity creates gratitude. Generosity creates gratitude. Now, when you think about that, I want to unpack that, and we'll see it in the scriptures in just a second. When we think about Acts 1:8, generosity creates gratitude. Mission 1:8, we want to be grateful people, cheerful givers. See, Mission 1:8 is based upon Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, our city, in Judea and Samaria, our nation, and to the ends of the earth, our world. So we come wanting to be a part of God's plan. And generosity is a part of that. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it's going to show us that generosity creates gratitude. The more generous we are, the more gratitude we have before the Lord. The more generous we are in our life, the more grateful we are with the things that we already have. Isn't it weird? The more we give away, the more we appreciate. Seems like it would be backwards. But many of us, incorrectly, we think that generosity, a discussion of it, creates guilt. Generosity is not to create guilt. Generosity is to create gratitude. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. Here's what it says. Now the one who provides seed for the sower and bread for food, he will provide and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness. So as we're generous, God's going to provide for us and increase the harvest of our righteousness, not just a bank account, but the righteousness in our lives. As you are enriched in every way, key on every way, for all generosity which produces thanksgiving, gratitude to God through us. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but also overflowing into many acts of thanksgiving to God. In this, we see that generosity creates gratitude. We think that generosity creates guilt. Generosity is not to create guilt, and this is what I mean. When we speak about things like this, some of you are already thinking, oh man, I feel guilty. I don't know, I need to give more. I know I should do more, and I ought to serve more. And there's guilt. Generosity does something. It flips that guilt around, and it makes it into gratitude. Because when we give it away and we share, then the gratitude comes greater in our life. Now, here's what I mean by creating guilt. This is what I felt like it. I feel like it's an unending spiral, and it kind of aggravates me a little bit. If the pastor can be aggravated, this is something that would kind of aggravate. You feel like you talk about generosity, so here it is. Well, if I have a nice car, then I got to get a normal car. If I'm a normal car, I got to get a junky car. If I got a junky car, then I got to ride the bus. If I ride the bus, well, there's people in the world that don't even have bus money to ride the bus, so I can't ride the bus. I got to get a bike. And if I get a bike, then there's people, you know, I ought to give my bike to somebody else because there's other people that don't even have bikes. So if I have a bike, then I need to walk. But now I got Nikes, and I can't walk in Nikes and really be a generous person because the Nikes nowadays really cost more than the bikes could cost, right, at times. So now I got these shoes, so now I got to be barefoot. So the goal of the Lord is to make me barefoot homeless. No, that's not the goal of the Lord. Didn't you hear the verse we said? He gives bread to the eater and seed to the sower. He gives you everything in every way so that you have all that you need. And isn't it true that the poorest, generous, walking with Jesus person can have far more than the wealthiest without Christ selfish person? We've all been around somebody that has far less than us, yet we wanted their joy because they had a smile that we couldn't buy. God doesn't want us to have this thought that he's always trying to go to us from nice car to normal car to junky car to bus to bike to walk to barefoot, to finally we all end up in the call of God is poverty. No, and isn't it funny, even in America, the poorest in America, a lot of them got a flat screen and cable. Saw a homeless man the other day checking his cell phone. It's like, that's bizarre, isn't it? God wants our generosity to bring in us great gratitude. And whenever we hear generosity and we feel guilt, we throw up defensive walls. And instead we say, no, Lord, we want to have tremendous gratitude. And a lot of times our guilt comes, go back to last week, because we're not prepared to be generous. We talked about financial principles, and it's the principles with everything, really. You have to, number one, you have to give. Then you save. And then you spend in fear debt. But most of us in America, we flipped it around. We're spending, so we're in debt. We don't have any money to save. And then, so we don't sure have any money to give. It's a very simple process that we give the first fruits to the Lord. Then we save, and we say, well, you know what? We're going to save back for a rainy day or a goal. And then now we're going to spend. And you don't always get what you want, but you'll always have what you need. And we fear debt. It's kind of like what I put on this shirt this morning. If I get the first button wrong, every other button is going to be wrong. But if I get the first button right, then every other button is going to fall into line. And the first button is that first button of giving our resources to the Lord and saying, Lord, I want to be generous before you, and I want it to be yours. We've been using this ladder as we go through. This is such a usable tool. Nelson Searcy in his book Maximize gives us this ladder that there's some folks that have never given to the kingdom of God. And so those folks are going to step up to be first-time givers. And today there's going to be hundreds of first-time givers in our church. And that is the most celebrated, yeah, because you're getting on a journey that the rest of us know how amazing it is. So a first-time giver, to be able to say, I'm going to take that step and be a first-time giver. There's many that are occasional givers. They give on occasion and, oh, where's that money? And we throw it out there on occasion. But it needs to be a step up to intentional. Maybe it's not a 10% tithe, but it's 5%, it's 4%, it's whatever it is. But there's an intentionality that when you get paid, the Lord is getting the first fruits. And Lord, it's yours. You gave it to me, I'm giving it to you. So we come from occasional to intentional. There's some to come from intentional to tithing, that they're intentional, but they're not at a 10% biblical tithe of their resources, to tithing here. And then the tithing to go to extravagant. As I shared with you last week, that God has called our family to go really from extravagant to extravagant. And he's been doing miracles in our family as we made the move through Mission 1-8 to give 20% of our income to the Lord through Mission 1-8 and to say, Lord, it's yours. And we've been blessed incredibly. It's been a great thing because I want to be a pastor that takes you someplace I've been, not just shows you someplace we should go. And so in this giving, it brings us generosity. Let me give you a couple stories. I'm a senior adult woman emailed to me who recently divorced and a retired school teacher. I came to Houston from a small town in Texas. I knew no one in the city except for one family member, and she mentioned I should go to Houston's First. Well, I asked God to give me a job, and I began to have a babysitting job to create some income. I was able to save some money, and after Christmas, I found a little rental house that met my every need. He provided for me. And then Greg started talking about his sermons in Mission 1-8 and how God worked in the lives of those who gave generously. I began to pray about a dollar amount that God would give. It was only later when I calculated the percent of the occasional giving of 20 years, she'd been an occasional giver for 20 years, had been replaced with, I didn't realize it, but I'd been giving 14% of my income in that year. So she took the step up. I have never consistently given generously. How wonderful it is to be a part of a vision, to be a participant in the Lord's work, and not to be smiling lamely while others accomplish the work and reap the benefits of generosity. I am so blessed and wanted to share my joy with you. That sound like an arm twist? No. Single adult. Pastor Greg, I thought you would be interested in knowing that you always focus on taking one step on the ladder, but be bold in Christ. Jump a few. I went from a first-time giver to an extravagant giver, and to the glory of the Lord, I've never seen so much joy in my life due to God's blessings. A single mom after a tough divorce, thank you for the sermon yesterday. It's been great to reflect on all the ways that God has provided for my family this year. I have not passed it on to you before, but I thought you would like to know. I've committed to be an extravagant giver in the last year, and within months, God has provided us an amazing house. It's the perfect spot for our children, for my children and I. It's a miracle, really, and I literally think, how did we get this house? How amazing is God that he provided for us? The house stands as a monument to God's faithfulness and how he goes beyond our expectations. Senior adult says, I was a child of the Great Depression. We were of a poor family. We never lacked for food, but life was hard. My huge allowance of 10 cents a week, my mom would always give it to us in a nickel and five pennies to make sure that one penny went to the Lord. Even as a small boy, having only 9 cents to spend on the occasional trip to town, it didn't make me a cheerful giver. But I became as an adult in my career, I began to tithe routinely as a Christian. When I proposed marriage to my wife, I stipulated, among other things, that we would always tithe. After I finished my proposal speech, she mentioned to me that it would have been nice if I also told her that I loved her. That's commitment there, isn't it? Now, after 55 years of marriage, we've been tithing, and now for many years we've double tithed, and the Lord has blessed us in incredible ways. God is at work. It's gratitude that comes in our lives. The second point that we see in verse 12 through 14 of chapter 9. So generosity produces gratitude. Verse 12, for the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints. So our generosity provides those that are saved, that know the Lord. But it is also overflowing in many acts of thanksgiving to God. People are giving thanks to God. through the proof of your service, they will glorify God for your obedience. Is that crazy that somebody could glorify God because of us? To the confession of the gospel of Christ, the good news going out to people that don't know him, and for your generosity in sharing and in their prayers for you. Now people are praying for us. They will have deep affection for you because of the surpassing grace of God on you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Generosity creates impact or creates gratitude. Generosity impacts lives. Generosity impacts lives. It says that our generosity, the generosity here of the Corinthians, and our generosity, it impacts lives. People glorify God. This month, 42 widows through our denomination, their wives, that their husbands were bivocational pastors that had passed on to be with the Lord. 42 widows got a subsidized income because of our church. I love that 42 widows could have said, "Dear Lord, please bless Houston's First Baptist Church." Oh, God hears the prayer of the widow, doesn't he? Amazing thought. I love the thought that there's people all over the world, in Rio, in Madrid, and in East Asia, that are glorifying God because of what he's doing through our church, and things are happening. Look, if you will, into your weekly guide, and just open this up, as we've been doing each week, and look at the things at the bottom in East Asia. We're ministering to the J people. The J people. Well, who in the world are the J people? We can't tell you exactly who they are. You know why? Because of security reasons. These people in East Asia do not have a Bible of their own, but we're helping them to get it. They don't know anything about the Lord. We're helping to teach them about it. So we sent a group out there with the J people in East Asia, and do you know what? That now we've helped to translate several books of the New Testament. They had zero believers among them. Now they have several books of the New Testament, and they have house churches spreading throughout the villages, even though there's great persecution. In East Asia, we had a team that went over there to teach underground pastors. 51 underground church leaders got Bible teaching because of our teams going over there. There's 800 pastors on the waiting list. In Madrid, we've been partnering in Madrid, asking the Lord to do his work. We're partnered with 6 church plants in Madrid that are coming out of this seminary, these church planting couples that are graduating seminary. We're helping them to plant churches in Madrid. In Rio de Janeiro, we're a part of church planting there. We've been partnering there a long, long time. Well, one of the church planters' wives went and took a lady to coffee. They spent 3 hours talking. She was able to share the gospel with her, and she prayed and asked Jesus to be her Savior, and then is now coming to the small group that's this little church plant. We're a part of that in the world. Did you ever think you could touch Rio? Big church can make a big difference. From a cafeteria, from a second floor, from a basement, from a worship center. God can do his work. He is on the move, and we want to be right there with him. In this flap here, if you turn to the world map, you want to give or go or pray. We've got trips you can jump in on. We're either giving, going, praying, or disobeying. This one particular touched my heart. I love telling you the stories of what God has done and is doing in our church. He's on the move. A family in our church, the Taylor family, I heard this at our deacon's Christmas banquet and it touched my heart. The Taylor family in our church was inspired by Mission 1-8 and other things, and they went to Africa. Their 14-year-old son was inspired, that's the Taylors. Their 14-year-old son, Colton, all the way to the left, was inspired that God wanted him to raise the money to build a home for 12 boys and 2 house moms. The home would cost $110,000. 14-year-old's going to raise that, and it opened up over Christmas. Those are the kids getting off the bus to come to the home. 2 of the boys are twins and have suffered from what we would call albinism, but in their culture, they see it as a curse, and they're abandoned. 4 of the boys are HIV positive. 1 of the boys has epilepsy. 2 of the boys have lived in a sewer for a while. 1 has lived in the garbage pit. These boys are truly the least of these. And inspired by Mission 1-8, they raised the money, and we were able to give part of the money as well. Your giving was a part of that. So that right now, last night, 14 people, 12 boys and 2 house moms, slept in a building that was their building. the glee and the joy on their face. Yeah, let's praise the Lord for that. Amazing. That's a 14-year-old. It's amazing what God can do. Middle schoolers in one of the Life Bible studies in our class, they said in Cambodia, they wanted to be a part of what God's doing at Crady's House of Hope, an orphanage there all the way in Cambodia. They may never get to Cambodia, but our teenagers in the middle school area, some of them, they sponsored a Christmas party in a local church and orphanage. They were giving gifts and packages to the church members. Around 20 families and 70 children received that. They also bought one new wheelchair for an old lady that is doing Bible study in the village, and additional 20 chairs for the orphanage that is there. That is good stuff to be a part of, is it not? That's our teenagers. That's our teenagers. Yeah, let's encourage them. Teenagers, you can make a huge difference. God is at work. Generosity brings impact. Selfishness does not. And when you and I jump in, God does something amazing. And the gratitude we feel is like no other. See, what takes place is this. If teenagers, adults, senior adults, kids, whatever, if we get our perspective changed, if a 14-year-old gets his perspective changed, or her, and he goes to Africa and says, wait a minute, I want to go back and raise the money to build this orphan house for these kids, the perspective change, then wham, the priorities are going to change. And if the priorities change, then the practice changes. And our Christianity, if you've got it down that practice changes first, and you're always trying to be a better person, you got it all wrong. It's from the inside out, not the outside in. And so what God is wanting us to have in our lives with Mission 1-8 is a perspective change. And now that changes our priorities and our practice. You know, that house there that they built, the orphanage there in Africa, you know that the Astros were a part of that too? Houston Astros, there's an Astro room in the Astros organization. Some of the people on the trip were from the Astros organization. To see a teenager and the Astros partner together to make a difference. What an amazing impact that is. To be in Cambodia and to have some lady that's got a wheelchair. To be with the J people with a Bible. To be in Madrid. To be in Rio. To be in East Asia. To see what God is doing with folks like us. Don't forget, this passage in Corinthians was really weird. You know why? It's really weird because it was spoken to normal people. In Corinth, they would always speak to the wealthy to give so that they would then get a statue in the public square. And this is the normal people. And Paul goes, wait a minute, the normal people is the army of God. So if you're normal, awesome. Because that's who God wants to use. That's who he wants to use. Generosity impacts lives. Right now, going out the door, outside the loop is the best way to describe it. 41% of the money that comes in, 41% is going outside the doors of the Loop campus. That's an amazing thing to see God doing that, because we know that it impacts and changes lives. It says in that passage that I read you that they are glorifying God. Look at verse 13. They glorify God for your obedience, the confession of the gospel, and your generosity in sharing with them. Verse 14, and in their prayers for you, they pray for us. Can you imagine one of those orphans praying for you? Prayers for you that you will have deep affection, for you, they will have deep affection for you because of the surpassing grace of God on you. Now, verse 15, this is the perspective-changing verse. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. The Lord has done something. He has done something in us and through us. The indescribable gift is Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate gift. Jesus is the ultimate gift. What are you going to give that God hadn't already given you? Jesus is the ultimate gift. And if you don't know him as Savior, today's the day. If you're not walking with him, today's the day. If you are, take a step deeper. Today's the day. Talking about the world today. Now, I want you to get your mind around this as we begin to wrap up to our commitment time. Our church was started as an aspect of foreign missions. Okay? I want you to get this. Our church was started as a foreign missionary journey. What do I mean? In our history book, our red book, page 99, in a sense, foreign missionary work at First Baptist Church actually began in 1841 with the signing of the church charter. The first foreign missionaries were church members and the pastor. Those 16 men and women and their pastor left their homes in the United States to travel to a foreign country, the Republic of Texas. Now think about that for a second. We weren't a part of the Union yet, right? That's 1845. We started in 1841. Foreign missionaries from the United States came to this foreign country of the Republic of Texas. That's baffling, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, let's give a round of applause for that. They came to the foreign country of Texas. What? Now, we know we're better than any other state. We've known that a long time. If you're watching on the webcast, just don't hear that part. But we were a foreign country. We started because of foreign missions. It's weird. That's yet our heart, though, too, isn't it? That we're giving, we're going, we're praying, or we're disobeying. Those are the only choices we have. On page 5, I shared this with you 2 weeks ago. That on the 5th page here, it talks about our second pastor coming, and he says that he visited Houston. He says, I've been laboring between Houston and this place, Galveston. The prospect in Houston is very encouraging. The congregation is large and attentive and solemn, and the morals of the people are consistently improving. On the second Lord's Day, I expect to organize a church and administer the Lord's table and baptize. I think there will be about 15 members among us. This is the foreign missionaries. The group was ready to unite and organize. There was no record of how long they had been meeting in homes or for worship or before the church was organized, but it is known that they were holding services as early as 1838, and the group purchased a bell. They rang the bell to call people to worship. In Siena, there's a bell to call people when it was a plantation to come in to eat. In Siena, though, they then in the 50s rang the bell to call people to prayer because it was a convent that was used there for the sisters of the Catholic Church. See, what we want to do is we want to ring a bell across the world. We want to ring a bell in our city. We want to ring a bell in our nation. We want to ring a bell with the widow, the poor, the orphan, the prisoner. We want to ring the bell that says God has given an indescribable gift, and His gift is Jesus. And our generosity is a thimble to the ocean of what we've received in Jesus Christ. So as we come, I want you to take out this card right now. Right where you are. Take this out. Siena, Cyprus, downtown, Loop. Take this card in your hand. We're going to prayerfully fill this out. For some, it will be to move to the very first time. The ladder's on the back of the generosity card. And we want you to check the mark where you are and circle where you're stepping. For some, it will be a first-time person will step up to intentional or tithing. An occasional person will step up to intentional or tithing. Intentional to tithing. Tithing to extravagant. To be able to check that box and to say, I'm going to where this circle is because of discipleship in my life of what God has done. And then on the back side, my generosity commitment to Mission 1-8. The first section is my first missions commitment, my first commitment to Mission 1-8. I want to be a part about what God's doing, a part of what God's doing. I want you to hear me loud and clear. We want to invite many of you, hundreds of you, that are not a part of God's work to greater joy is what we want to invite you to be a part of. God doesn't need your money, but you do need His joy. And generosity is what brings it. That's what brings the gratitude. So you can check that and write down, what do you normally give in a year? Maybe it's zero. Maybe it's, you know, $50. I don't know. What's your additional generosity commitment to Mission 1-8? That's all based on this year. 1 year, 365 days from now, 1 year, stored resources, then that totals out what the next year you're going to step out and give to Mission 1-8. When we give to Mission 1-8, that's to everything we're doing as a church. That's all you're giving. That's all in. That's to the budget that we give. And then the over and above of that, when we pile it all up, then that's what we're using for these different things. The second little section, I've already made a commitment to Mission 1-8. Maybe that's like you're like me. I plan to fulfill and finish strong. We write down in that place our original two-year commitment. What was it that you committed last year? It's not a one-year commitment, but 2 years. What was it that you committed? Then if you want to increase your total commitment, our family, God has blessed us. He's done miracles. How could we not? We're stepping out and we're going even more. God stretched us before, but we're stepping out for even more. We want to be a part. So we're going to write down even more in that place. Then that adds up to be your total generosity commitment. Then your information down there with name and all that business. So on the front, you're filling out, there's a little worksheet of the finances. On the back, checking where you are, circling where you're going to be. Maybe you just want to check extravagant and go even higher extravagant. That's great. But here's what we're going to do. Across the city, Mission 1-8's already happening. Siena, Cypress, downtown. They're Mission 1-8, the loop, we're Mission 1-8. I want you to hold this in your hand as we play just instrumentally for a moment. Fill this out. If you don't have a card, you don't have a pen, you came in late, you can go to the front and grab one of those at one of the tables in the worship center here at the Loop or different places throughout other campuses. I want you to grab this, and I want this to be a moment. That you hold hands with your spouse if you're married. You pray together. And then when we begin to sing, when you begin to hear singing, we're going to stand. We're going to walk forward. And at the front of each section at the Loop and at the front of each campus, we're going to lay our cards into my favorite pages in the red book. It's the blank pages in the back. The story yet to be written, we're going to lay our cards into the story that we're a part of to be written of what God can do. Let's pray together. I won't say amen to give you an opportunity to pray in your seats and ask God what he'd have you do.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.